Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I would say that Jacksonville has the hottest pass game going into the playoffs right now. And I think that's why there's such a belief. I think it's the toughest draw that Buffalo could have gotten, candidly. And I've said for a couple weeks now, the run defense doesn't necessarily concern me. It's the, are you going to catch a on-fire pass game as well as the secondaries played? Because elite passing games can get after elite coverage units because the quarterback can make the perfect throw on a consistent basis.
Dan Orlovsky there yesterday with One Bills Live. That's what I was talking about, you know, the whole Orlovsky likes the Bills' pass defense, but yep. It's running into maybe the best pass offense, and a quarterback will always kind of make up for some of the deficiencies. I mean, I know that personally just through college football, Texas playing Washington. Texas did not have bad coverage in that semifinal game against Washington. Michael Penix just kept making perfect throw after perfect throw, and it was exhausting to watch. It happens all the time. If you're a bad team playing a great quarterback, you see that all the time. If you're a great team playing a great quarterback, you see it all the time. It is what it is. It's why quarterbacks are the great equalizers. It's also why you'll probably have more people picking the Bills than you maybe would expect for this game because the quarterback. I heard Cody Alexander, who was Jeremy and Joe's guest this morning, even mention it that, you know, yeah, most of the time the best quarterback does win these matchups. Quarterback play does – it can elevate in the playoffs. We've talked about it. Allen is one of those guys that come playoff time – come big game time usually, because you look at some of the primetime stats he has, he elevates.
And look at, I hearken back to something. So ready? When I say this, the first words are not going to be the ones that I'm going to say here. Think back to Brandon Bean's comments after the draft. Now? No, not those comments. You silly goose. He mentions how the defense has let them down. And how has it been let down, though? How has this team been let down? Because that defense is also facing Patrick Mahomes outside of one other time.
Yeah, they played Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah. Another guy that's...
That day they offensively really just...
Right. Bleh. It's not to give them all excuses because you've got to get your stops. But yeah, no, I get it.
It goes to your point.
Mm-hmm.
The best quarterbacks typically win in these sorts of power matchups.
That's why I'll get the argument, though, to lean into the offense. And I can fully understand that and not completely agree with it.
But what I'm doing is more or less... Mm-hmm. Adding evidence to this, the Bills, almost unequivocally, in this era, have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And he has, like Allen, stepped his game up when those games have been up.
Oh, yeah.
They are classics. They are classics that a neutral fan goes, dang, it's a shame that the Bills lost. Because that was fun. Here, we're like, I'm in hell.
Yeah, right. Like, just
we have different comments.
Yeah.
We have different comments. Some of them FCC not safe.
right.
But the point is, this is where the Bills have something on everybody else in the field. And it's not something we're used to. Is it enough? Because this offense and how it has been called this year has had a tendency to even hold that back. I will believe and sing an entirely different tune about the offensive coordinator if all of a sudden they're more aggro with the pass game and attacking the middle, the intermediate, which they do not do anymore as often unless Dalton Kincaid's in the lineup.
Right, because even Knox, when they use him, he is used it kind of on the boundaries. He's very rarely up the middle of the field, up the seams, what have you. This is where, though, you bring up boundary receivers and why I've mentioned the last 2 weeks or so. Brandon Cooks' emergence. He did not play a snap. He did not dress.
And this is a quarterback that loves to unleash that.
Right, and you've seen it, though.
Even ill-advised.
Right, but you've seen it, and I do bring it up, though, because I think it shows how much the Bills believe in Brandon Cooks going forward. He has the drops early, but against Philadelphia, you kind of got to see the whole thing. They don't score a lot of points, and that's why, for me, I'm almost uncomfortable bringing it up. But I liked what I saw. The fact that, okay, Kincaid's not even on the field, and we're taking these go ball shots, and he's open against maybe the most talented secondary in the sport. That has been the Eagles' calling card this year, is their defense. Jacksonville could arguably be the same thing. And if I'm seeing Brandon Cooks getting open against Philadelphia, I'm excited to see what can happen against Jacksonville when now you do add in Dalton Kincaid, who's been able to, in a sense, kind of rest up and prepare sort of for this playoff run. He plays only, what, about a quarter and a half against the Jets, and he looks exactly how you'd want him to look. James Cook has been healthy all year. It's been wonderful for the Bills. The offensive line is healthy. And you're right to bring up Brady, too, because if we get more of that, that's where I could see this Bills team surprising the hell out of Jacksonville. Because I've made mention, too, like teams now do have to look at Cooks' tape a little bit more. I'm like, okay, like they're starting to do that. That's a thing that we haven't seen all year. Is that just because it's Cooks and this is the matchup, what have you? Or is this actually something that they are discovering? And now we've got to take everything into context again. We have to now go back and do our homework. And this is where you can get a team who has not been in this situation before, at least a coaching staff that has not been in this situation before, get them all basically just screwed up. I mean, that's how it is. You are now the elder statesman outside of Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, but we all kind of know how we feel about that.
You're a good elder statesman.
You're the elder statesman. You're the ones that have been here in the wild card round, because Sean Payton absolutely does count in this. But in terms of the wild card round, you're the team that's been here and done this. You have all of the scar tissue. You also have some of the iconic wins. You've made two AFC championships in 5 years. Jacksonville is very much the new kid on the block. And while I have mentioned it's not really just yours to take because Mahomes, Lamar, and Burrow are not there, there is also something too, though, for on the Jacksonville side of things, of you do have to somewhat earn your bones. You don't just get to show up and boom, here we go. It does not happen like that all the time, often.
Unless it does.
And greatest show on turf is kind of one of those teams I think of they just showed up, won a Super Bowl, and here they are.
But the Buffalo Bills have something to say about this now, as the elder statesman. And really, you look at the whole playoff field, Pittsburgh doesn't count. They're not real. And they're not a threat. It's Buffalo and really Houston. They're your teams that have been here more consistently as of late. Like I said, Pittsburgh doesn't count, but also Houston, one of those two teams is going to knock each other out. So your elder statesman, maybe one of them gets through.
Maybe, yeah.
Two, if the Bills win. One guaranteed, maybe two. We're done after that. All of a sudden, it is fresh blood, at least for half of the remaining playoff field. In terms of teams that have not had this long stretch of success. End of list. I do wonder how it's going to be this year, because if the Bills are eliminated, that means that only one team that's been more consistent than others remains. And it is, you show up and you have instant success.
And man, like that's even partially true in the NFC. Like if San Francisco beats Philadelphia, it's the 49ers and the Rams then that have kind of been there and done that for a little while.
Yeah, Seattle's
the one seed. They haven't really been that relevant.
They've been painfully eliminated actually through the last several seasons by missing by like half a game or like they have the same record and it's point differential.
The Bears are totally new.
Bears are new kids on the block. Packers are.
And even the Packers, I mean, they do have that 7-2 win against Dallas, but that's a few years ago now.
It's a few years ago, but also they haven't gone much further with this iteration.
Yeah, this is where this could really be a changing of the guard kind of season. Like we could look back at this year 4 or 5 years from now and be like, oh, this is when Jacksonville and Denver and New England sort of announced themselves. Now they're the cream of the crop. They're the class of the conference, and you do have teams like Buffalo, like Kansas City, like Baltimore trying to get back, and they sort of lose that luster they've had. Or it could just be it really was the Bills' best chance, and they nailed it. There's also a middle ground in there. It's not just black and
history
white.
History could also show, like, oh, this was a flash in the pan, stupid year.
Right, and you know, Chiefs are back next year. The Bills take back the AFC East. You know, Denver.
Baltimore finds a new coach and gets right back into it.
Yeah.
Like, that, I definitely don't want that. If there's going to be changes, let there be changes.
Keep it interesting. 803-0550, the number two call. We go back to the phones. Mike is up first this segment. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
my biggest concern this weekend is Joe Brady and the Bills' short yardage offense in scoring territory. We saw it in the Houston game where twice we had opportunities, third and two, both times, once to win, in a position to win the game, once earlier in the fourth quarter. Same thing happened last two weekends ago against the Eagles. You know, we have the third and goal from the two-yard line, and everybody in the place knows that we've got a running back who's going to run up the middle, and he gets stuffed, and then we get stuffed, and we lose that game because of the same short yardage, plays. It's just, the third and one that he decides to throw the wide receiver screen pass through in the pouring rain through Shakir's hands instead of just tush-pushing it. It just seems to me that he's gotten too cute. And if I've got third and two and I'm in the red zone, I'm tush-pushing Josh two straight times because he's going to get 2 yards. He gets 2 yards almost every time he does it. So just seems to me that's my biggest concern, because we've lost at least two games specifically because of our inability to make third and two and fourth and one in the scoring zone.
Mike, thanks for the call. I get that point. I mean, they have lost some of these games. You can even go back to last year's playoffs. I mean, that's where the Chief game is sort of defined by those short yardage situations not getting first downs. Maybe it's due to the spot. We're not going to have that conversation today, but
we don't have time for that.
You can go to that game even and look
what
at the short yardage situations.
What I can also go to, and there's been more of this evidence this year, is the predictability of play call.
The screen pass, we all know.
Joe Brady
pass.
Has not, despite the Bills' numbers, he's not had what I would call a good year.
No, I think there's a big reason why you're not hearing his name being brought up at all in any of these head coaching openings yet.
Yeah, and there's an opportunity here. Like I said, I want to see what Joe Brady is going to do here, because when the Bills have lost, it is the offense that falters. It is their inability to remain consistent that plagues them. And sometimes it has to do with the fact that, yeah, the players are the ones on the field. You can only call the plays. But sometimes those plays are getting blown up and a player does not have a chance. How many times have we seen a screen pass against Philadelphia in particular,
mm-hmm,
where they diagnosed it immediately? There's a clip of Jalen Carter saying they're running the same play.
Yeah.
Like, I need better from the offensive coordinator this week and this month.
There is also that level of frustration, though, and this is where it has been with the Bills all year. And this is even true of the Ken Dorsey years, year and a half, where some of the stats, though, just simply do not point to it. The Bills on fourth down and third down conversions are very high in terms of the rest of the league. But it's the same with Ken Dorsey where, they're still putting up 25 to 28 points per game. Like, are you really that worried? It's become one of those things. No, but when you watch the game, though, you mentioned it. It's
we're context.
Yeah, it's the context. It's the same screenplay over and over and over again, and or the run play, really, where when it works, like Pittsburgh, it's funny.
It's cute against Pittsburgh or Dallas, right, a couple years back.
Like, you can laugh at it, and you're like, yeah, I just couldn't stop you. But when you start doing it, and like you mentioned, Jalen Carter's just going, it's the same play, and we stopped them. And yeah, I'm talking about that game going, I think there were some bright spots, the passing game. It's also a strong reason why they didn't score much, even with all that stuff. It is the short yardage situations where they're able to at least somewhat get down there and they just can't finish. And that even includes the kicker, by the way, too, missing extra points and such. That's why they go for a two-point conversion. But then there's also the ones that fail where it's perfectly drawn up. Been a number of those plays to Brandon Cooks that I wish we could give Joe Brady more credit for. But they're dropped. But they're perfectly called play-action passes where he's open. Or the two-point conversion. It's a perfectly called play. It's perfectly executed. Allen misses the throw.
Yep.
You know, this is also where it does come down to some of these guys do have to execute. It's the same with the tush push as well. We ran into that problem last year. Allen picks the same side every time. And the Chiefs are like, okay.
We know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, we stopped you.
And I'm glad you bring up the Allen play against Philadelphia, because like, he has not had the year of his usual standards. And some of it is he's missing plays. Mm-hmm. He is missing some of these plays. And it's okay to say that. But now, guess what? You are the shining beacon of quarterback play,
or quarterback potential. When you're great, and you're the best to do it in this playoff field. And that's bar none now. With the rest of this playoff field here, you are supposed to be the guy. And it's why the Bills are going to have, like, it's why the Bills are tight on the money line here. It's why the projections have this game being a pick 'em, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bills have the great equalizer. Jaguars have the better roster, 1,000%. Could say that one without blinking twice. And I can have my eyes just as wide open and saying, but the Bills have the equalizer. The Bills have the thing that nobody else in this AFC playoff field does. A quarterback that can take over and win on his own when needed. There are quarterbacks in this playoff group that can do it. They have the potential. They've seen it. We've seen it from some of them. It's not as foregone of a conclusion, though.
And it hasn't been in these moments. There is a difference between a regular season game and a playoff game.
But I will even try to count the regular season games because some of them have just yet to play in the playoffs.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Just to give credence to it.
Mm-hmm.
Benefit of the doubt. But Allen has done this and continues to do this. And in some of these games has had to bail the Bills out entirely as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the number to call, 803-0550. We go back to the phones. Cal is up next. Cal, how we doing?
Hey, doing well, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well.
I'm thinking what I'd really like to see happen, and I can see it happening too, is a lot of these experienced playoff experienced quarterbacks are going to – I think they're going to win in the first round. I really do. I think a lot of these guys that haven't been there before, it makes a big difference. I think, you know, all the learning that you'd learn when you lose, I mean, it goes a long way. And I can really see, you know, possibly getting another home game. You know, I really do. I think Herbert and the Chargers can beat May. And I think Pittsburgh can beat Houston, especially with Houston going in the cold weather. And you know what? That last game of the season, man, Chargers didn't play anybody, and they pretty much were in the game most of the game. I think they can beat Denver. I really can see us, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, and then you know, Stafford in the Super Bowl. And I don't know, you guys remember last year when we hit that great game against LA, even though we lost. That would be like the epic Super Bowl, you know, like 7 lead changes and, you know, 45-42 Super Bowl, and we win. Or, you know, whatever. But I can foresee it. I don't really think it's that big of a grasp. And that's about it, man. I like your show, and you guys keep up the good work, man. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. I like that point because we haven't really touched on it too much this week. But we've been talking about it for a few weeks, looking at how the bracket was shaping up. Mm-hmm. We could see all three, at least in the AFC, road teams win.
I've been on this.
Yeah, you've been on it for weeks at this point.
Yeah, like this is exactly the season where this would happen.
Because where we mentioned Elder Statesman, it's more the Bills as a conglomerate, as a full team. But you do mention Sean Payton in Denver. They're on the bye. Jim Harbaugh, though, forget about his brother for a minute. I think Jim Harbaugh is a top three coach in the sport. And wherever he has gone, he has won, and he has won at a high level.
And it is the top-tier coaches that have been here for a little bit that you get to look at and go, okay, this is interesting. Because Harbaugh faces off against Vrabel, a guy that I said, you mentioned it, like, oh, he was the one seed with Tennessee. Yeah, that got promptly knocked out after that.
Right, they are sort of the picturesque of the week one seed.
Like, Vrabel might be a little overloved for the accomplishments that he doesn't have yet. He goes up against one of the more successful coaches that there is, quietly. And Jim Harbaugh.
I do think it is quietly. I think a lot of people do not give Jim Harbaugh the credit. He is absolutely deserved.
He's also coaching the franchise that God forgot.
Yeah, right. And he did lose to his brother in the Super Bowl. That will not help him.
Well, that doesn't help him, but I'm talking more about the Chargers charging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost a foregone conclusion that they're just going to, like, find a way to hilariously lose in a first-round playoff game.
I think people forget he made Stanford a very, very, very good football
program. But that's what I'm saying. That's why it's quiet.
Yeah.
Because it's where he is.
Yeah.
And then Sean Payton's in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean McDermott is here. Mike Tomlin doesn't count. He got his 10-7 Super Bowl. Here comes their playoff exit. And if not, here comes Buffalo, a team that called the same play 26 times and you couldn't do anything to stop it.
Still the best thing ever. Still the best thing ever.
If the Chargers were to win, the Bills would get that. But that's the point, really. is how do you get to where you are? And it's actually kind of funny when it comes down to it. Pittsburgh, if they were to win, gets either Jacksonville or Buffalo, really, based on how the math would work on that.
Mm-hmm. How glued in do we to Monday night? If Bills beat Jags and Chargers beat New England, how glued in are we to that Monday night game?
I'm still watching Sabres-Panthers.
That's awesome. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll take a quick timeout from the Bills here as, well, Derek did mention the Sabres. They do win 5-3 last night over Vancouver. A little bit closer than you maybe would have liked. They were leading that game at 1.4-0 in the third. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton, though, on that as the Sabres do not get on a losing streak and they continue their winning ways. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Welcome back, everyone. Rolling along here in hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Happy Wednesday. Sabres pick up a 5-3 win yesterday over the Vancouver Canucks. A little bit closer than you would have liked it. They were leading that game at 1.4-0 in the third. For more, though, on last night's win, go to the Western Hotline. Paul Hamilton joins us now. Paul, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. So how are you feeling as the Sabres were almost letting that win get away?
It was, you know, it's not like it used to be. I mean, mm-hmm. 2-3 years ago, they would have lost that game without question. I mean, there was just no way they would have held on to win it. They would have froze. They would have sat back, and it would have been it turned into a complete disaster. But this team's a little bit different now. And Lindy Ruff very, very wisely used his timeout after the third goal, and I watched him. He wasn't animated. He didn't appear to be screaming at them or anything like that. He basically pulled them aside and said, look, you guys have been holding leads very well really recently. You know how to do it. You know what kind of battle is going to be involved in doing it. Go out, win your battles, and you guys will be fine. And that's what they did. They settled down, and a couple minutes later, they wound up with the empty net goal from Doan and put it away and won the hockey game. So it was a good response, I thought, to come out, basically play their game, and they had to kill two early penalties. And it was kind of a third-period penalty, which is the one thing they have not solved yet, is taking dumb third-period penalties. Now, the high stick, I'm not going to say, is dumb. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens mm-hmm. every now and then. You can say you got to take care of your stick and not, get it up high and cut somebody. But it's not like when you're, slashing somebody's stick out of their hands. That happened for one of the third period penalties and that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say it was dumb. Maybe a little bit careless. Just, you got to know where your stick is and what's happening. But that kind of is what got things started, the double minor to Thompson. And with 9 seconds left in the first minor, they score a goal, and they didn't score on the second minor, but then you had to kill the other 2 minutes because you didn't quite get the first one off the board before they scored. And then they get a couple of quick ones after that, and you're sitting at 4-3. I don't think Zach Metz ever dreamed that when he scored in the third period to make it 4-0 that his goal was going to become the game-winning right. goal, which is what happened.
Paul, yesterday it did seem interesting, and I think that he's a lightning rod type of player for a lot of Sabres fans, but I thought that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was fantastic last night. He really set the stage for what was looking like at first a dominant win, and then after that flurry happens, he does ultimately help shut the door and make sure that it stays a W.
Yeah, maybe the last goal you could chat about.
Yep.
Byram went down and he went down too early, and they just walked around him, the Vancouver player, and you could make the case that maybe Luukkonen was too far into his net, which gave him the far side to hit, which he did. But yeah, overall, I'm not really the other two goals. No, I'm not blaming Luukkonen on it. He made some great saves in that. As even with giving up 3 goals in the third period, his goals against at home this year is still under 2. I think it's 199, if I recall correctly. And, he's 6-1 at home. So, he plays very well at home. And now I would say 4 of his last 5 games have been excellent. you know, nobody had a good game in Columbus, including him, so that would be the outlier. But, you know, he seems to be finding his game on a more consistent basis. And, you know, Lindy Ruff said yesterday morning that, you know, he, you know, after the game in Saturday, he had total confidence in Luukkonen that he was going to, you know, come back and play well, and he did. And especially early, those power plays came early, and, boy, they had that schmozzle in the crease where Luukkonen was swimming around just doing anything he could to try to keep the puck out. He had his teammates right with him, and you saw a lot of desperation from the whole team there to try to keep the puck out of the net.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
They did, you know, but there were guys over the all over the ice just trying to make sure that puck didn't wind up in the net. I thought they did a good job winning battles, you know, coming back from the Columbus game. So, you know, it showed, I think, maturity even after the Columbus game right away. First thing out of their mouths, well, all right, this happens. We're not going to win 50 in a row. We know that. We're not happy about it, but it's on to Tuesday. And Tuesday, to me, it wasn't the Columbus game that I even thought about, quite honestly. It was, how are you going to handle the Columbus game moving forward? And I'd say they handle it well.
Yeah, Paul, I was pretty thrilled overall with the game yesterday because, I mean, me and Derek have talked about it. I think me and you have talked about it, too, off-air, just – you know, the win streak is nice and all. It's how you handle that first loss. Do you all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you won 10 in a row, but you then, you know, lost 5 in a row to match that. And with how close the East is, they do have to kind of keep stacking up wins. It's really nice to see. They came out hot, got a little tight at the end, but they were able to keep it going. One thing, Paul, I am still very nervous about, the power play. They have not scored a power play goal since December 20th. It's not like they have always a ton of chances at it, but it always feels like I would rather have them be 5-on-5. That seems to be where they play better.
I'm trying to think. I don't have my numbers in front of me because I'm sitting here at practice. I think they only had one power play last night.
Yes, only one.
And Jack Quinn, I'm just sitting there shaking my head. He passed up like 3 shots. And if Jack Quinn's not going to shoot on the power play, there's no point in mm-hmm. him being in the lineup. I mean, honestly, I would not have had the same lineup Lindy Ruff had yet last night. I would have pulled Quinn out of the lineup. He has one goal in 18 games. And really, you know, some nights he's there, some nights he's not. The way Dunn has been playing with that line, I would have left it alone, and I would have put Austlin in Quinn's spot on his line, and, you know, just Quinn would have been my choice. Now, I would guess, and some coaches do this, and this is just a guess on my part, that Quinn might be in the lineup because of shootouts. He's one of the best shootouts guys in the league. And there are coaches that will do that. They will leave guys in the lineup in case you get to shootouts. And I think that's a big plus for him, and it might be one of the reasons why they are keeping him in the lineup. But on the other side of that coin, I think they've only had 3 shootouts this year, so they don't get to that many.
I was going
to
say, I'm like, it's not, it doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, yeah. So if that's one of the thought processes, and as I said, I know for some coaches it is, you don't want your best shootout guy sitting up in the stands. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be part of it, thinking, well, we can't give away those points if we do get to a shootout. But that would not have been the lineup I would have had.
And then, Paul, last thing here for Thursday. Alex Lyon does go on IR. Obviously, does not work the same as the NFL, where now they're out for an extended period of time. He could come off at any point. But are we expecting Luukkonen to get the start tomorrow against the Rangers?
Well, looking down here, to my left is Mr. Ellis. And usually the goaltender to my left is the one that winds up starting. I say usually. I'm not going to practice. I mean, that's the, quote, starter's net. But the starter's net is usually game day. But sometimes in practice, I mean, Luukkonen has been manning that net for the most part, and it's Ellis today, and Lindy Ruff did say Ellis is going to get some time. So it might be time to give Luukkonen a break now and let Ellis play. So just looking down at what I'm looking at now, and you would say, well, who? What's your guess? That would be my guess, as it's Ellis, but it is a guess.
All right, sounds good. Paul, thanks for jumping on with us this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline. The Sabres take on the New York Rangers tomorrow at 7 in New York, 6 p.m. pregame. The Rangers have been a brutal team at home this year. Would be nice to kind of just start another win streak here. I mean, I think that's where people could really get bought in.
Yeah, the Rangers, we are in game 42.
Yep, this will be 42 tomorrow.
Well, Sabres will be 41, I think I saw. But
no, they just played 41. Okay. They're at 42
so
tomorrow.
So we're at the halfway point. And I know the Rangers have played more games than the Sabres, but we're all there, right? We're all at the halfway point. The Rangers have 5 wins at home this year.
Oof.
Halfway through the season.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. You can't be
5.
Doing that.
It is easily the worst record at home in the NHL. It's not even close. And you even have bad teams that can effectively like dog walk you in terms of their home record.
Yeah, they're 5-10-4. Funny enough, though, they're 15-8-2 on the road.
Oh, wait, hang on. There is one team worse than them.
Nice.
It's the team Buffalo beat last night.
Oh.
Vancouver.
I always have a soft spot for Vancouver, but yeah, they're not good.
Vancouver is 4-12-3 at home this year.
That's
so
impressive.
Hey, good for the Sabres for beating the Canucks while they were on the road, because that's a better team.
Likewise for them, though. They're 12-9-2 on the road.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually not a bad road team.
They're actually a really halfway decent road team here. Like, they're almost at true 500 there, but like, hey, you know, 12 wins on the year. 12 of their 16 wins are away from home. Ew.
Yeah, and the Sabres have somewhat fixed up their road woes. A lot of that due to that win streak they had. I mean, a majority of those games were on the road. They now sit at 9-10-2 on the season when they are away from KeyBank. That game again tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame. 803-0550, the number to call. If you want to give your thoughts on the Sabres, we'd love to hear them as well. But we've been talking a lot today on Bills and Jaguars, Sunday at 1, the old reliable time. I'm not gonna not love that.
I'm so
thrilled they're at 1 o'clock. It kind of just has that old, I don't know. It's not nostalgic feel, but I always love.
I'm gonna
football.
Peel myself out of bed at 5 a.m. and go, what the hell?
Right.
But then,
but
I'll be fine.
I always love NFL football Sunday at 1. I'm the same way with college football. Give me Saturday at noon.
We also had 17 years of that pattern.
Yeah. So I got used to it. We'll go back to the phones here, and we'll start the segment off with Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing?
Hey, you doing good today?
What do you got for us?
You guys were talking about the Harbaughs earlier, and it got me thinking. Now that John Harbaugh is a free agent, not coaching in the playoffs, how much do you think he'll be assisting his brother with the game plan for this weekend?
I think this would be more realistic, and Tom, thanks for the call, if he was fired in the middle of the season. Because then I'm in a holding pattern. I've got to wait until every other team is making moves. So I'll go help out my brother. Now you're already seeing it. He is going to be the hottest name on the
market.
He
might have a lot of phone calls.
He probably is just not going to have enough time, even if he wanted to. I think there's also that feeling of, no, I got to focus on my career. You got your thing going on. I'm going to go. I mean, we're already hearing it. The Giants are going to be in on him. He's probably going to have interviews with the Titans and all those groups. Again, if it was the middle of the season, I could totally see it where he jumps in as an advisor and maybe, you know, still has his interviews, but he's already been in the building. He hasn't been in the building all year. I understand the point. I think it's just the timing has not worked out.
I will say that if he wants to, he can take his time with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that really fascinates me. But yeah, he's going to have so many phone calls right now based on his immediate availability that I don't know how much time he'll have to even help out his brother. John Harbaugh might also decide, I'm going to just take some time to get away from football for a bit here.
I thought that was the case until all the reports yesterday of like, he's already the Giants guy. He's already heard from all these teams. I think if he was going to take a break.
I'm talking about like these next few weeks.
Oh, where he takes his time.
Yeah. You take your time, disconnect from the sport for a little bit. It's a daunting schedule for coaches, and he's been doing it for the same team for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new. It's all new to him. He can take his time. Also, Mad Dog needs to shut up.
Oh, wow.
Mad Dog is mad. The Bills made a big deal over the final game at Highmark. Sorry, man. You don't know what community is, Mad Dog.
Yeah, it's tough. Also, real quick on Harbaugh, last thing for him. I also wonder, because you mentioned that he may take some time, how many of these teams now are going to wait on hiring a head coach because they're waiting on Harbaugh to make that decision. You also have Kevin Stefanski, former head coach. I mentioned it could be the old boys club kind of year for coaching candidates, because you've also got Mike McCarthy out there. We've heard Jason Garrett is getting an interview with the Tennessee. Brian Flores is a former head coach. His name is really out there for the amazing work he's done with Minnesota's defense. It seems to be a lot of former head coaches that are going to get shots here. Harbaugh, though, is probably chief among them, and I could see a lot of teams just want to wait. We want to see who he goes to first, especially if you feel like you're in the running there. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we do wrap up a Wednesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have been getting connected to our fans all day, which is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com, and we'll finish up doing that today as well. As we go back to the phones, Frank is on the line. Frank, how are we doing?
Great. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
I just had a quick couple of comments. I hear all these sports guys with the Jaguars, how good they are, and Trevor. They really haven't played anybody. They beat one good team. And Josh, when he comes out for loss, look out the next game. And they finish playing games, Buffalo. They don't quit, even if they're down. I think they're going to go all the way myself. And I think everybody in there is afraid. They hope that the Jaguars beat them, because I think they're afraid to face the Bills. The Bills are a good team. I know they look a little sloppy sometimes, but when it comes down to it, somehow, some way, they pull it out, and I think they're going to this time. And I just wanted to say a quick shout-out to my friends in Rochester, Paul and Chuck. You guys have a great day, and go Bills.
Frank, thanks for the call. And I think you're spot on with is that I think there's a lot of teams that do really hope the Jaguars take out the Bills. Just like, okay, good, they're gone. Now we're all in the equal playing
field. I do wonder how much, though, that other fan bases want the Jaguars taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Denver fans probably have a little PTSD going on from the Jaguars beatdown that supplied them earlier.
It's why I think this is maybe going to be the best matchup, not just in the AFC, but of the weekend, is because
Eagles-Niners might be electric.
I know that, and it's right after it.
Yeah, don't discount the NFC at all for quality
this
season.
But I think in terms of who's going to go to the Super Bowl,
In the AFC,
there's a lot of people that could sit there, watch the winner of Jags-Bills and go, it's them.
And that is something I said right at the beginning of the show.
By the way, real quick before we do wrap up here today, the Bills did make some roster moves before practice. Cornerback Dane Jackson, he has been signed to the active roster. They have placed defensive tackle Jordan Phillips on IR, and then they have signed two guys to the practice squad. Quarterback Shane Buechele, who was obviously just previously on the Bills practice squad, got signed by the Chiefs when they had all their quarterback cluster.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And then this was reported yesterday by Aaron Wilson, made official today. Cornerback Daryl Porter Jr. also signing to the practice squad. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the wild card round. I'm kind of irritated it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it should be like Thursday or Friday, and we're heading into the weekend. I mean, we don't even have the college football playoffs tonight, Derek.
Not yet.
Still waiting on that. I can't wait.
And we don't
for
even
those.
Get Sabres tonight.
No.
Like, nothing. Oh, my God. What are we going to do on a Wednesday here?
I know. By the way, real quick before we wrap up, on hockey, did you see the score of the Islanders and the Devils last night?
Yes, and I saw that the Devils outshot the Islanders.
They did.
44-23.
They did, and that final score was Islanders 9.
9
New
nothing.
Jersey Devils nothing.
Like, I would be mad if I've played Barley hockey. I've had that scoreboard before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm not allowed to be mad, though, at the goalie that gave up nine goals on 23 shots because our guys put up zero.
I mean, just incredible. I hate Islanders hockey, but I've got to respect a stat line like that. That is absolutely
incredible.
Islanders
hockey's evolved.
Not enough for me.
Slightly. Matthew Schaefer's really fun.
That is true.
More on hockey. Sabres Live is coming up next. Zach and I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on the Extra Point Show.